In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
How many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress? Wow, I'm amazed. Did you read the whole thing, or is it some abridged comic book version or something? You remember that when Pilgrim arrived at the House Beautiful, Prudence and Charity received him, gave him supper, and they talked about the Lord of the Hill, who had slain him which had the power of death, but not without great danger to himself, which made me love him the more, said one of them. He did it with the loss of much blood, but that which put the glory of grace into all he did was that he did it out of pure love. He is such a lover of poor pilgrims that the like is not to be found from the east to the west. He had stripped himself of his glory that he might do this for the poor. And they heard him say that he would not dwell in the mountain of Zion alone, and that he had made many pilgrims princes, though by nature they were beggars. And they gave themselves to their Lord for protection and took themselves to rest. The pilgrim they laid in a large upper chamber whose windows opened to the sun rising. The name of the chamber was Peace, where he slept till break of day. When I was writing my biography of Amy Carmichael, A Chance to Die, my husband and I spent 9 days in Donavur, the mission which Amy Carmichael established. And we stayed in a beautiful little guest bungalow. And there was a beautifully lettered wooden sign over the door that said the name of the chamber was Peace. And it was a place of great peace. Amy Carmichael's room was called the Room of Peace. That's the way everyone referred to it. They use that room today. They haven't put a velvet rope across the door and preserved it in exactly the same state it was in when she left. But they do have her books and her desk, and they allowed me to sit there at her desk surrounded by her favorite books, and that was just an overwhelming experience. But everybody talks about the Room of Peace. Where is such and such? Well, it's in the Room of Peace. That's Amy Carmichael's room. I wonder how much peace you have in your life. I would hope that this weekend the measure of peace will have been increased by our learning a little bit more about what it means to wait on God. And I do hope that none of us will leave this cove without a fresh understanding of the Lord of the Hill, as he was called in this section of Pilgrim's Progress, who is such a lover of poor pilgrims, and who paid such a price of self-stripping. And he asks us to follow him, to live in company with him. Can we for a moment imagine that such following and such living will not entail self-stripping? Of course it will. And when the opportunity comes, may we be given grace to recognize that that's what it is. One of the prayers of Amy Carmichael that she put into poetry form was, "And shall I pray thee change thy will, my Father, until it be according unto mine? But no, Lord, no, that never shall be. Rather, I pray thee, blend my human will with thine. I pray thee, hush the hurrying, eager longing. I pray thee, soothe the pangs of keen desire. See in my quiet places wishes thronging. Forbid them, Lord, purge, though they be with fire. And work in me to will and do thy pleasure till all within me, peaceful, reconciled, tarry content, my well-beloved's leisure. At last, even as a weaned child. The weaned child is finally calmed instead of fussing at regular intervals for the mother's breast. So we've been talking about the various aspects of waiting on God, a quiet holding of ourselves in readiness to do whatever he wants. It involves silence, no fussing, no questions, just silence. We are to be on the tiptoe of attention, utterly at rest, in conviction that he, our master, doeth all things well. Do you believe that? Can you wait on him for the unfolding of that perfect will? One of the carved wooden mottos in Amy Carmichael's bedroom was good, acceptable, and perfect. Of course, that comes from Romans 12. We learn as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. And that room, the room of peace, is the place where she suffered for 20 years, bedridden most of that time. She almost never left that room for 20 years. She was injured when she was 63 years old, and she died at 83. The room of peace. So that is our waiting on God. Now, having given you the definition of waiting on God as a quiet holding of ourselves, silence, no fussing, being utterly at rest in the conviction that he does all things well, there is another aspect to it, which is suffering. Waiting is often a form of suffering. But I would like to give Romans 8:17 to those who perhaps have not thought about this aspect of suffering. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if, indeed, we share his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. Again and again in Scripture, we find that there is a link between suffering and glory. I remember finding in Jim Elliot's journal after he died, he had written alongside the Scripture reference, "If you suffer with me, you will also reign with me," or "If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him." He had written, "I shall not reign, I have not suffered." And it was true, in a measure, it was almost entirely true, so far as I know, that he really had not known any real suffering. But I know that he did just before he died. There was a long period of suffering during which the Alcas were trying to get those men dead, as they told me. It took them a while. But there's this link between suffering and glory. We will reign with him if we suffer with him. And if we share in his sufferings, we may also share in his glory. So, supposing that God's apportioned suffering for you right now happens to be this agony of waiting. And it can be a real agony. The self-restraint is painful for us, isn't it? The restraint of a horse, they tell me, is painful to begin with. The horse has to get used to that bit in his mouth. I don't know how he ever gets used to it. And the reins and just being held in when this tremendous energy is coiled up there. And a lot of us are like horses champing at the bit. So waiting is a form of suffering. And we have to recognize that God allows that suffering in order to refine us. What kind of peace is it that Jesus Christ offers to you and me that is so different from anything that the world can give? What kind of peace does the world have? Only the kind that depends on circumstances. You find yourself sitting watching a sunset over a calm lake, and you feel peaceful. But that's not the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. His peace was a strange one, wasn't it? an unknown form of peace that came out of unremitting toil and effort, seldom with a seen result, subject to constant interruptions, unexpected demands, short sleep at night, little comfort, sometimes scant food, beset with disappointments and usually misunderstood. Yet peace, all the same, undeviating, filled with joy and gratitude and love. That's what God wants to give to you and me. Will we wait for that peace? Do we realize that we have the same origin and the same destiny that Jesus had? Knowing that we come from God and are going back to God, what is there to fear? Nothing matters, absolutely nothing matters, except Jesus Christ. That Christ, Paul said, may be manifest in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, life is Christ, and to die is gain. May God give us the peace that comes from waiting on God.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.